Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Oh, hello, and thank you so much for joining us again today. I have a fabulous guest. His name is Virj Kanajian, and we are going to be talking about From Darkness to Light, Ending War and Poverty with a Humane Economy. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about Virj in just a moment, but go ahead and head on over to the website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. Lots of news today, this week in Journeys News. First of all, a little bit of information about Jerry Smith, who's also been on Journeys before. He's going to be a featured speaker at this year's ConspiracyCon 7, and it's also going to be held at the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown San Jose, California. Now, that's in May. And the topic is going to be weather warfare. Fabulous. Don't want to miss that. And also during February and March, it's a winter special. You can receive a copy of the Journeys into Meditation CDs. It is a beginner series volume with the purchase of a reading. So definitely check it out. Let's get back to Virj, though. He is a former IRS chief economist, and he does reveal a radical economic solution. This is going to prove to be a very cool interview because he talks about, as an economist, and he's the author of the book, of course, From Darkness to Light, that if society would cease to tolerate misuse of power and money, there would be no cause for war or an excuse for poverty. Now, by combining the biblical golden rule with a secular economic idea, Kanajian has created a new system for societies to operate on without being dominated by material wealth. And he proposes supplementing commercial transactions with a parallel economy of a humanitarian exchanges. This is absolutely a do-not-miss interview. He's a fabulous guest, so you guys, please stay with us. We are going to have more of Journeys, and don't forget to check out all the sponsors of Journeys. You can get all that information on the front page and also the past guests. So hang on, you guys, and we're going to be right back with more of From Darkness to Light and Journeys with Rebecca. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all the aspects of paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now, 1-800-728-2730. Again, that's 1-800-728-2730. Or visit their website, www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Schedule your private psychic reading with Rebecca, a truly gifted intuitive and clairvoyant, and the host of Journeys with Rebecca radio show. Call 1-888-958-2768. That's 1-888-958-2768. Where will your life's journey take you?
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Oh, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us again here today. Today, as I had stated to you earlier, we have an absolutely fascinating guest. His name is Virj Kanajian. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. And he has written a book called From Darkness to Light. And this is an absolutely fascinating, spellbinding book with fascinating, spellbinding information in it. And let's take this opportunity right now and welcome Virj to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's such a great pleasure to be speaking with you and with your audience.
Oh, this is just going to be so much great information. Before we get started on all that, one of the things that I did want people to know about your book is, of course, we're going to let everyone know at the end of the show here where to get a hold of it and everything. But the information, there's going to be some new information coming up in the next couple of months with a new website, new address for you. And we will be updating my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, with that information and making that announcement so that people can find you very easily. And they, if they miss this show today, they can also get it into the archives, and we'll also mention that as well, Burge. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there up front right from the very beginning.
Oh, now, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Oh, and you know, I guess what we need to talk about here is not only do you have a book with the text in it, but you have some absolutely fantastic drawings in the back of this book. That kind of tell a little bit of the story as it goes along, which I found was really fascinating. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you and let you tell us how this book came to be, because that in itself is a fascinating journey.
Yes. Well, you know, the book has been simmering in my mind for the past 30 years, you know, and the whole idea stemmed from a very fascinating relationship I had with an artist who was a resident of Washington, D.C. His name was Ben E. Lewis, and he was an extremely talented channel, if we want to call it that. He was, I would rather think of him as a prophet.
Okay.
Because he had... you know, he disliked, or he had an aversion to people with messianic complexes. You know, he couldn't stand that. So when Spirit told him that he was the reincarnation of John the seer, who saw the visions that are included in the last book of the Bible, he absolutely flipped. You know, he didn't think... he couldn't take it.
But, a lot of people go, oh, no, not me. That's not me. No, 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 no. Yeah, I can
right.
see where
Absolutely.
That happened.
So he told me that he had no less than 22 evidentials from Spirit
wow.
that he was that guy. And so starting from there, the beautiful thing was that through him, I could carry on conversations just like I'm talking to you now. With the very highest souls in Spirit,
wow.
Including Nostradamus and including former presidents of the United States like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln down to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, and also the Christ himself, you know,
awesome.
Who has given earlier than my meeting with Benny Lewis tremendous new revelations that are absolutely breathtaking, that are published in a book called The Golden Scripts, which I'm mentioning in my book.
Okay.
And that provides the spiritual background to the notion or to the concepts that I have in this new book.
Okay.
Now, the main thing that I want to emphasize is that people who get information from Spirit, who are very talented psychics, etc., are wrapped up in that mode of living. Whereas in my case, I formed this very intimate partnership relationship with one of the best psychics that ever lived, and I combined that with my academic and public service background. I have a PhD in economics from Harvard University, and when I retired, I was chief economist of the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh my.
And as it turned out, I was given the assignment to study the underground economy of the United States,
uh-huh.
which made me aware or put me in touch with people who gave me information that most people are not even aware of or do not think exists. So my life combines these two different spheres, and what came out of it, this book, was not even in my mind the way it came out. I tried many approaches because it was a very difficult task for me to present my views in a way that would give me credibility. There's no doubt that I have credibility in terms of my credentials.
Right.
But the credibility issue arises when I'm talking about new revelations from the Christ and from very high souls and from souls who are particularly interested in the destiny of the United States to provide guidance that is available to no president or to no great statesman in the world. So we have here answers that no one has, you know, and we don't speak, you know, as saying, well, you know, you better believe this because that comes from spirit. That's not what we are saying.
No.
We're saying just consider this and see if it doesn't make sense to you.
Yes, yes. And that's the way, actually, that you presented it in your book. And it's, it really is kind of spellbinding. It's one of those almost like a mystery novel in a sense, because you want to turn the page to find out more about each chapter as you're writing about it. It is really fascinating the way you put it together. So you've done a remarkable job with that, Virg.
Well, Rebecca, I want to congratulate you because you are the first person who characterized my book correctly.
Oh.
I wrote it as a mystery story.
Well, thank you so much.
You know, and you know where I got that idea? I got that idea from Ezra Pound, the great American poet.
I do, yes.
Yeah, and he was advising someone who wanted to write about the conspiracy, you know, to take over the world through the banking systems of the world and so on. And he said, if you want to tell your story in a way that will interest people, write it as a detective story.
Right.
And I got that idea from him.
Well, it works very well for your book because I am telling you it is very suspenseful. And it does make you want to turn the page and find out what the answers are.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're going along here without revealing everything in your book, Virg, why don't you start somewhat from the beginning of the book and kind of let people know what really is going on, because although it's a mystery, it's also kind of, you know, can give a person a feeling of uneasiness. And I always have believed that knowledge and information is a true source of power if it's true knowledge and true information, so people know how to go forward. It's not anything to be fearful of. It's something to be welcomed. Because without it, you don't have as many tools as you do if you're armed with the knowledge and information.
Well, you're absolutely correct. Let me put it this way. There are a lot of people who have, when I say a lot, I don't mean the majority of writers, but there's a certain select group of writers who have been aware of the fact that there's a conspiracy to take over the world, which is the root cause of the great disorders that we have gone through, starting with World War I, even before, but let's start from that point.
Okay.
But they have created fear,
yes,
instead of hope. Whereas in my book, and the way the guardians of this nation in the spirit world want to present this concept, they say that we should never speak of this negative side without emphasizing that this is, incredible as it may sound, a blessing in disguise that is designed to lead to a far better solution of the world's problems than has been dreamt of ever before. And in order to make that large transition, people had to have something of a shock therapy, so to speak. You know, when you're depressed and you try every method and it doesn't get you out of the depression, finally you try shock therapy.
Right.
And so the troubles that we are going through now and the type of changes that will come, cataclysmic in nature, around the reappearance of the Christ, who will come in to usher in a new age, a new concept, the idea of the kingdom of God. All of these disturbances are blessings in disguise, in the sense that they provide shock therapy to get people to realize that there's far more to life than is dreamt of in their worldview.
Oh, and I would agree with that 150%.
And you see, the things that are not in their thinking are both positive and negative. You know, the positive is that only through a cooperation of the best human minds with the most benevolent souls on the spirit plane, only through that cooperation can a fundamental solution of this nation's and the world's problem is possible. Without that cooperation, it's not possible. And many people come up with all kinds of ideas, you know, but they always lead to disappointment. That we have had one ideology fail after another ideology, and people are still going down that path.
Yes.
And they're not going to find the answer there. The answer is in having a combination or a synthesis of heaven-sent information with the most thoroughgoing and honest scientific understanding of events, fearless in terms of their political connotation.
And I would agree. There has to be a marriage, so to speak, of the two.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And neither one alone can do the job.
No, and honestly, you see that in everything, in every form of business. The imbalances that it creates by being one or the other, too much of one and not enough of the other, is a true imbalance. And there does need to be, as you said, a meeting of that, a synergy between the two. And your book presents that very well. Interesting title, by the way, From Darkness into Light, or in From Darkness to Light. You know, it represents quite a lot of the world's woes going on right at the time. And, you know, I don't think it was any accident. I'm sure as you look back at your life now that of where you worked.
Yes.
No accident how your life came to be. You are absolutely following your life path there, Burge. That's fascinating. That's a blessing for you. I'm sure it's had its ups and downs as well, but that's fascinating to me to see somebody walking your path as much as you are.
Yes, thank you. You know, one thing that concerns me now is that if we carry on like this, we'll be forming a mutual admiration society, and we won't be able to discuss anything. We'll just keep on admiring each other.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we don't want to do that.
Because your audience deserves better than that.
Absolutely. Go ahead and go forward if you would, Burge.
Well, now another thing that I want to mention is that much of the progress of the world in terms of material well-being has come through economic concepts. You know, starting going back with Adam Smith, you know, and his concept of the invisible hand, division of labor, and the correct use of resources that combined with innovation and credit markets and so on, this has created tremendous prosperity for the world. Now, that doesn't mean that it has created tremendous satisfaction for people who have participated in the project, that this has given rise to counter-movements, you know, from capitalism to socialism. And when I was a student of economics, I was always fascinated with economic theory, and I studied all the great theories who had ever written in this area, going back to Aristotle. And no one had really solved the economic problem in that each of the solutions had in it elements that were not desirable, and no one had been able to get rid of those elements. And so, to be very frank with you, even after I had written more than half this book, more than 70% of this book, I still didn't have the solution as clearly as I have it in this book. That came in the process of my writing. And it took the form of a parallel economy, which means that right now all the economic systems are dealing with economic factors, you know, but someone said that war is too important to leave in the hands of generals, you know, that so in the same way, economic issues are too important to leave in the hands of economists. That what I did in this book is to spiritualize economic problems so that economics becomes only a means to cultivate the most satisfactory, the most fulfilling, and the most spiritually advancing or enlightening solutions to human relations. So I gave economics that spiritual dimension that was able to make the system fully satisfactory. Neither capitalism nor socialism nor anything in between or fascistic methods and so on, none of them is without big, big issues and problems in them. Only by this economic system that has evolved through my life process that spiritualizes both economics and politics do we find the ingredients for the kingdom of God that Christ spoke of.
And as I'm sitting here, I had like 14 questions, and now they're all gone, Burge, that I was going to ask as you were speaking. And of course, that always happens that way. But that's an interesting concept, nonetheless, that you would take the economic factor and spiritualize it. That is the missing link. So, because again, it's talking about how we began this. It's about the balance. It's about the synergy. You can't have one without the other in order to have a complete picture. So there you go.
Yes. You see, it all has to do with motivation.
Yeah.
The motive of people who believe in the free market, so to speak, is that, well, if we have free markets, we get the highest levels of productivity and highest levels of progress, economic progress. But in the process, you create a lot of envy, you create jealousy, you create conflicts, and you create inequities, which people then want to solve with a socialistic approach of government imposing solutions. But when government imposes solutions, then necessarily you're taking the freedom of people away from them. So it runs into that dilemma. In other words, if you give people economic freedom, they're not using it in a way that will give them and the people around them the greatest degree of satisfaction. To correct that, if you introduce government, then you're taking away their freedom, which is even more precious.
You see,
that's the dilemma which I solve with my approach, where I have two economies. One is based on economic principles for people who are not spiritually motivated, you know, so that it's impossible to change people, right?
Well, it's a task indeed that is daunting because of all the things that have already been set in place. But what we'll do, Burge, is we're out of time on this segment. Let's come back and talk about those two sets, and we'll go from there. You guys, stay with us. We'll be right back. Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and the learning the ways of the Creator. Your never-ending life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and the superior spirit. For more information on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series is available at Barnes & Noble, borders, and online at Amazon.com.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-95-TAROT. That's 1-888-958-2768. Find out where your life's journey will take you.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Oh, welcome back. We're so glad you're here. We are here with Burge. We are talking about the book From Darkness to Light. And in the first segment, we left off with the two sets of economic parts that you were talking about, or you know, the word evades me. I don't know why. So if you would like, Burge, why don't you finish that up? Because I think that might be something that people need to recognize, and I know we've got tons of other stuff to talk about.
Yes. Well, what I was saying is that the economic systems that have evolved have been based on material motivations, so that even though we have had tremendous productivity in terms of the economic institutions that have been developed, mainly under free market system, but also to some extent under socialist system, that these have not satisfied the core human yearnings and desires. That even if a person becomes a millionaire and a billionaire, they still have not necessarily found their true balance, equilibrium, satisfaction, spiritual fulfillment, no matter what you call it. They haven't found that. So that what I'm saying is that it is possible to develop a parallel economy that's based not on the rule of money, but on the rule of love. That in the sense that every citizen is issued an equal number of a new currency that I'm calling AFRS, appreciation for services effectively rendered. That is issued free, and you can use that currency to buy anything from anyone who is willing to give their services or their products free of charge. You see, a lot of the volunteer work that is done in this country, a lot of it is done, but it has very limited possibilities because it's based on the barter principle. You know, it's primitive barter principle in the sense that if you do a favor for someone, he feels that he needs to return that favor to you. That's barter, you know.
Right.
But if you create a currency that if you do a service to someone and that person pays you a currency that then you can use to buy another free service from someone else, then you have created a market for this love services. And not only do you create a new currency, but you can create credits, you can create all kinds of institutions that have provided so much prosperity on the material side. You can take those ideas and apply it to spiritual relationships and spiritual transactions that are based on love and giving, so that you are giving people an opportunity to develop in either direction. Those who are materialistically inclined, God bless them, let them go that way. But those who are spiritually inclined, you are giving them new opportunities and new institutions and new markets and new systems that will expand and make their efforts much more leveraged, go much further than ever before. And that's how I think the kingdom of God will have to be built. Gradually expanding the love sector at the expense of the materialistic sector, but never forcing people to move from one to the other. All you're doing is creating new opportunities to make the more benevolent and more altruistic people, give them a chance to be as successful as billionaire businessmen.
Oh, my goodness, what a concept. There's a lot of people out there that are just like, oh yeah, I can just see people jumping up and down, to tell you the truth, Burge.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that's going to take a lot of work to create something like that. You know that, right?
Well, you see, more than work, it creates what you need is a desire to do it. You know, that most people are not thinking outside the box. You know, that's a very popular thing, to think outside the box, and many people think they are doing it. But what they are doing is thinking within a bigger box than they were in. It's not really going outside the box, whereas I'm trying to take people outside the box. It is possible to get there, and also it's possible to get there one by one. You know, it's better to get there en masse, but there's no one way to go down this path. Once you have this general concept, and there are many ways in which you can approach it. But the thing I wanted to mention most is this defeatism, or sort of a feeling of helplessness that I see all around me, even by people who have very sensitive souls, and they're very concerned about the problems of the nation, the decline of moral standards, or decline of a love for their country, a decline of high ambition in terms of collectives. See, many of the religions are concentrating on the individual, but individuals by themselves can do many things, but in order to be able to achieve more, they must learn how to cooperate with each other and with divine forces. And each person is able to do that. The whole A key is to realize that once you have the intent to make the best use of your total resources along the lines of your endowment, not everyone has the same talent, then doors will open up for you to find your way. But if you think I can do nothing, then you can't.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, Henry Ford said, if you think you can do something, or you can't do something, in either instance, you're right.
That's true.
So if you create a vision, as I have, then it will motivate people to do the best they are able to without feeling discouraged or without feeling that they themselves don't count, because they do count, and they count far more than they dream.
Yes. And that's a true statement. Sad but true. That is a true statement. And, you know, here is, as you know, as we're having this discussion, one of the things that I know that I'm hearing from people is you know, the two economies. And in your book, you call it an honest system whose principles aim will be building better human relationships. And it's a system that's going to enhance one's sense of individual worth, and that's kind of along the same lines that we just left off there on. And what a unique concept. You know, I've always thought the way that the economy in and of itself is so it's so mismatched. Our sports people and our people who entertain us are some of the highest paid people in the world. But yet those who protect us, those who help put out our fires, those who teach our children, those who keep us safe, those who provide us food when we drive through are paid such minimal amounts of money for such important things. Not to say that sports isn't important or our entertainment isn't important, but I would think that somebody preventing my house burning down from the ground would be much more important than going to see a movie, as an example. Just, you know, just a thought.
Yes.
It's upside down. It's upside down.
I didn't hear that.
It's upside down.
The fact that it's upside down is because people's values are upside down.
Yes.
You see, if people value sports the way they do, then the people who are good at baseball or basketball, the free market will give them millions. Not that they know how to spend it after they get it, but it will give them that money. The trick is not to say that these people don't deserve that or shouldn't have it, but rather to have better values that will make people pay far more for good teaching or for good health or whatever is important. You see, it's supply and demand is a law. You can't break it.
Well, that's
but
true.
Demand depends on people's values. And if you refine people's values, then the things that will are beautiful and constructive and lead to peace and fulfillment will have a higher desire on the part of people, so they'll be willing to pay more for those things, either in money or in terms of this love currency.
Well, and I know there's a lot of people right now in this moment that, and again, they have to wrap their mind around it, but as they are, they really probably need to read the book, because there's, you know, we've started at the beginning and then we've went to the end, and there's all the stuff in the middle that, you know, that your book makes people very aware of, about the United States is engaged in this economic war that's just as dangerous as Iraq or Afghanistan at this point. And I think people need to understand what, again, as you said, what's important to them. And we have to get back to the business of what's important is not just about the things that we have, but also the spiritual aspect of self. As an entire world, we've lost that connection. We've lost that connection to spirit, to God, to whatever. And I think it's important that we start incorporating that, whether it be through religion or just through prayer work or meditation or whatever it is that you do. It's also should become more of a way of life for people instead of the way that, obviously, the way that we all, every single one of us, have done, because it's taken all of us as individuals to create the world that we're in. It's going to take all of us to turn it around and create a different world, and that's you know, you talked about the coming of Christ, and that's what this is going to be about.
Yes, you see, and the thing is that what you are sensing, and you have accurately described everything I meant to say, that can come about with a change of only a few ideas. It's not a big intellectual struggle. You see, for example, the religions of today are based on the fact that their understanding is the correct one and the other religions fall short somehow. So their effort is in evangelizing or in converting people.
Right.
See, whether it's Christianity, Islam, or whatever. Or this applies also to the ideologies, you know, that the socialist ideology is looking for converts, and the capitalist or free market people are looking for defenders of the free market. But what I'm saying is that instead of trying to convert people, awaken people to their own possibilities so that they can become godly even if they are not Christian or even if they are not Muslim.
Right.
That if they are those things, fine. But you don't need to convert people. You need to enlighten people. You need to educate them, and you need to open their perceptions so that they see that truly God is one. And if God is one, truth is one. And all religions are different aspects of the same truth. One is not does not have a monopoly on truth. You see what I mean?
I so appreciate that remark. I do. That's true. One religion should not have the monopoly on it, and it does not. So that's beautiful, Birch. Thank you for saying that.
And well, the main idea is that, you know, I know my book, you know, is difficult to read, but you have to spend the time, you know, and if people are not willing to spend the time to read it, they really won't get to the treasures that it has. It has treasures beyond at different levels, you know.
Yes.
And it takes years to dig it out, you know, but at least they should read it from page one to the last page, and enjoy the artwork. As you say, the artwork is
well.
Beautiful.
The artwork ties it all in. It puts the visual concept with the text in it, and it really does help to put it all together. We're almost out of time, Birch. Again, I can't tell you enough how fascinating this has been. I urge every one of you to please go to the website that's located on the front page. Order the book From Darkness to Light. And Birch, I'm sure that we're going to probably have you back on again. And I want to thank you so much for being a part of Journeys today.
Yes, thank you. They can go to their local bookstores or Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Any of these places will have my book.
Don't go away. We'll be right back. You can't judge a psychic on TV because of producer-induced theatrics and clever editing. But now you can analyze famous psychics including Derek Acora, Peter James, Linda McKenzie, and Dana Smoller in the new DVDs ISPR Investigates the Comedy Store and ISPR Investigates Crest Hill Mansion. It's all raw and uncensored footage from 1999, showcasing how psychics really communicate with earthbound entities in the field. The new ISPR DVDs are available at JourneysWithRebecca.com. It makes the perfect gift for the paranormal enthusiast on your list.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now 800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Oh, welcome back. What a great interview with Birch. And again, I'm going to repeat, you can find his book at all the usual places, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. And again, the name of the book is From Darkness to Light, a great read. Hey, and you guys, let's not forget, Journeys with Rebecca is podcast. Now, you can find that link on my website. You can subscribe free, and you will be able to download each and every episode of Journeys with Rebecca to your iPod, MP3 mobile device, or your computer. And another reminder, Jerry E. Smith will be our featured speaker this year, one of the featured speakers this year at Conspiracy Con 7. It's going to be held at the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown San Jose, California on May 26th and 27th of this year, 2007. And again, the topic is weather warfare. You can go to www.conspiracycon.com. Okay. Now, here's a little bit of information that comes to you from Yowza, that's YOWUSA.com, which is Marshall Masters' website, again, a guest of Journeys with Rebecca. It's called Cut to the Chase, and Marshall has a wonderful guest talking about Apocalypse 2012, author Lawrence Joseph. We are facing global catastrophe in ones, not tens of years. Now, he's been trying to explain to the 2012 to others and getting the you've got to be kidding put down. Cheer up, now you're going to have a solid comeback. Author Lawrence Joseph has sweetened the bitter flavor of 2012 with his humor in his newly released book, Apocalypse 2012, A Scientific Investigation into Civilization's End. Now give it to your skeptical friends, and after they stop laughing, they're going to be ready for a serious conversation. Now Joseph's book is not all play and no work. This is a serious effort, and he has done his homework. His book encompasses much of the popular literature, including the Colburn Bible, as presented by Marshall Masters. Plus, he puts his boots on the ground, too. His travels include visits to Mayan shamans, Gerardo and Carlos Barrios. Gerardo lives in Guatemala City, Guatemala, and Carlos lives in Antigua. He's also traveled to Siberia to meet noted Russian scientist Dr. Dmitry. His 1998 paper titled Planet Physical State of Earth and Life predicted current global warming trends. Now, you can go and listen to the interview, Marshall Masters interviewing Lawrence Joseph, at www.youowusa.com, and that link is going to be up on my homepage. And Marshall does an absolutely excellent, wonderful website and newsletter. It's really worth signing up for. Okay, next, you guys have an assignment. Together, we're going to explore the five mysteries which may never be solved from paranormal phenomena. From their webpage, we consider a great deal of paranormal phenomena and mysteries of the unexplained here. There are many such mysteries that have puzzled us all. So through ongoing research, however, we are likely one day to understand many of them. Quite conceivably, we will understand how telepathy and precognition work. Bigfoot could be captured next year. We might even discover an explanation for ghost and haunting phenomena. But there are some enduring mysteries to which we may never get the answers. The five mysteries, according to them, which will never be solved. How the pyramids were built. The Roswell UFO case. The Philadelphia experiment. Crop circles. And what happens when we die? Okay, I really want your input on one or all or a combination of any of these mysteries, your ideas or theories. Because then, myself, along with Stephen McKay, you'll remember him, he's from Kansas City Radio, he's the host, Kansas City Online, kconlineradio.com, he's going to sit down in an upcoming show, and hopefully, we're going to find some answers. And Stephen says, kind of like Mythbusters meeting Journeys with Rebecca. It is going to be a fabulous show, but we need your email. We need your input. And we will be conducting an interview, and we're going to be talking about those right on air. So it's going to be kind of a different little twist here at Journeys with Rebecca. So, come on, get your thoughts, your opinions, your theories together, and email me, mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Again, that's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. And again, the mysteries are how the pyramids were built, the Roswell UFO case, the Philadelphia experiment, crop circles, and also what happens when we die. Now, we're going to be doing that show, that special show, sometime next month. So you definitely want to get to the front page of Journeys with Rebecca. Look for the information under Our Journeys News, because that's where it's going to be posted for those five mysteries. How the pyramids were built, the Roswell UFO case, the Philadelphia experiment, crop circles, and what happens when we die. That's your assignment. So we're looking forward to you sending that information, your theories, thoughts, whatever, mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. All right. This is going to be fun, you guys. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Not that it isn't serious stuff, but we're going to have fun with it as well. You know, I have a couple of emails. I haven't done emails in a while. I used to do them all the time, but I've gotten quite a few here recently, and I really think that they're worth a mention. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Kevin. Now, Kevin is over in the Army in Iraq, and he writes, good afternoon. I hope you're doing fine. This is Kevin here in Iraq. I've listened to your interview, the author of Maya, Dane Alexander, and I've been having some similar discussions these past few years. Reptilians, underground tunnels, including Mel's Hole, and inter-Earth civilizations, time travel, teleportation, levitation, secret multi-level governments, and I've been corresponding with a friend of mine. Red Elk in Washington State at redelk.org. Now, Red Elk is a wise elder of the Hayaka Society, I believe. And just recently, the military had a segment on the new device mounted on the top of HMWW that projected a heat ray which heats your outside skin temperature to 130 degrees. The mock riot test crowd of Air Force personnel quickly ran away shouting in surprise when subjected to a mild dose of the heat ray. The brave new world is already here, and I'm not afraid. Rather, I choose to be aware as you are. Dane and others who are aware. This is from Love and Peace, Kevin. Okay, there's another thought for you guys. Thank you again, Kevin. You're such a wonderful person over there, and bless you for that. This next one is a very, very lengthy one, and I'm not going to be able to read all of it, but it's from Lee, and Lee wrote me a very long email, just kind of going through his thought processes of how he was grown up, the different thought processes, and he writes, "Hi, Rebecca, I haven't written before, but listen to your show every day. Or listen to your every show. Your show tends to be food for thought. And I have been on the internet since about 2000. For a long time there, I didn't notice or realize that there were people out there talking about such things. Very, very interesting. Though not something that many members of my family would listen to. I was raised in a very Christian, strict home. My father was a free will Baptist preacher from the old church, one might say, and my mother was from a Presbyterian family. I was caught in the middle, yet not fully agreeing with either side. The feeling that the things were not exactly as I was being taught is something that goes way back." And he goes on to explain all of that. He goes on to explain his process through his spiritual awakening and how the show and all the wonderful guests that we do have here on Journeys with Rebecca has helped him realize what his own truth is just by listening to all the information. This is so fabulous, you guys. And, you know, I appreciate each and every one of you listening. So if you have any questions or comments, please write me, mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. That's what the show is about. It's about you and sharing information. Blessings. We'll be right back. Thanks for staying tuned. Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and the learning the ways of the Creator. Your never-ending life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. For more information on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, and online at Amazon.com. Hi, this is Rebecca. I'd like to take just a few seconds and thank all of my international listeners out there from Australia, Japan, Canada, South Africa, Bahrain, England, and Taiwan. You know, I would really love to hear from you guys. Let me know what you think of the shows or the topics. Email me at Rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. And thanks for listening. What a wonderful show. I do hope you enjoyed it. A reminder to check out my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And please email me. Tell me what you thought of today's show. That's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. A special thanks to the sponsors of Journeys, Fate Magazine since 1948. Fate is the longest running publication of its kind. You can find out more at fatemag.com. Also, Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by Sandy Andrews. To find out more about him, go to universallearningseries.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Blessings to each and every one of you. And goodbye.